A New York-based radio program and podcast working with LGBTQ youth is starting its first operation away from the Big Apple. It's called Outcasting, and there's a meeting later this week to launch the project at Michigan State. Current State Scott Pohl talked with the founder of Outcasting, and who is that, Scott?
Well, his name is Mark Sofas. He's a radio veteran and an MSU grad. He started Outcasting as a place for the stories of LGBTQ youth to be told and to be heard. When we talked last week, we were joined by an MSU student named Cale Black, who's helping bring Outcasting to East Lansing. Sofas spoke with me about Media for the Public Good, the nonprofit he started that led to Outcasting.
Media for the Public Good is actually a successor organization to Hudson Valley Community Radio, which was the owner of WDFH, a nonprofit public radio station I used to run in Westchester County, New York. WDFH ultimately went off the air, and Outcasting survived, and so we needed to change the name to Media for the Public Good. So it is a 501c3 nonprofit.
So how long have you been doing Outcasting?
Outcasting began in, it was right around the beginning of 2011 when I started trying to get youth from high schools in the area. And we actually put together the first group of people in June of 2011. And over the summer, I started to teach them some basics about audio production and interviewing and journalism and that sort of thing. And the program debuted in October of 2011.
And the program, as I understand it, can be heard on several dozen radio stations around the country, and it's also a podcast. Is all of that correct?
Yes, it's heard on, we don't have an exact count, but somewhere around 45 to 50 Pacifica public radio radio stations around the country, and it's, of course, available through iTunes and on our website, which is outcastingmedia.org.
So tell me about the focus of the show and maybe how you started the show, whether that focus has shifted over the last few years. What is Outcasting all about?
Basically, the problem that we're trying to address is that LGBTQ issues are very rarely covered in the mainstream media, and LGBTQ youth issues are pretty much limited to when a child takes his or her own life, and it's really very superficial, and we wanted to give dimension to those lives and allow youth stories to be told. And over the years, the focus has shifted a little bit more toward coverage of LGBT issues, sometimes youth issues and sometimes LGBT issues in general, from a youth perspective.
How frequently is there a new show?
Right now, we're producing, on average, about 6 to 8 new programs a year. One of the purposes of the MSU Bureau and establishing other bureaus is to increase to monthly production, and the long-term goal is weekly.
Am I understanding correctly that MSU's is your first bureau outside your immediate geographic area there in New York?
Yes, it is. And it actually came as a result of my husband and I being on campus a couple of years ago and talking with Dee Hurlburt, who is the director of the MSU LGBT Resource Center. And she was sort of intrigued with the idea of an MSU bureau. I actually run the two bureaus here in New York, our home studio in Westchester County and the New York City Bureau. And so the MSU Bureau is the first that's not under my direct control, and it's really exciting.
Cale Black, I want to bring you in here now. How did you hear about Outcasting? What appeals to you about taking part in the project?
So actually, I heard of it first from, it was in an email. I think it was from the LGBTQ Resource Center here at MSU. And I was just kind of browsing and trying to figure out what kind of queer student groups that I wanted to be a part of. And it sounded interesting, and I went to the first meeting and ended up being a part of it.
You were an incoming freshman at the time then?
Yeah, correct. Okay. Sophomore this year.
All right. And so in that year, has that amounted to you doing anything with relation to the project so far?
We're kind of focusing on doing our first long-form show. We're also primarily working on our Outcasting off-air right now, which is just online-only, shorter programs.
Am I correct that you'll be supplying material to Mark and he'll be incorporating that into the national program?
Yeah, it's all goes to the same place as well on our website, media for mfpg.org. I think generally, and Mark could probably clarify as well, we just pretty much do our own productions, trying to kind of match the way the show has gone before a little bit, but also having our own spin and take on things.
Mark, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that's good. You know, it can start with pieces that the MSU Outcasters send to us, or it can be complete programs. Either way is fine.
We're talking about Outcasting. It's a radio and podcasting program of a nonprofit called Media for the Public Good, with a focus on LGBTQ youth, with founder Mark Sofas. He's an MSU grad, and we also have with us MSU student Cale Black, who's involved with bringing Outcasting to Michigan State University. Outcasting claims to have a place for those who are closeted. I'd like to have you take a moment to explain how that might work, since it's a public forum on a podcast and a radio program. How would that work?
Well, we never wanted people who were closeted to feel that they couldn't participate. And people have different degrees of outness. We had one student, a high school student, who was totally closeted. He was out only to his mother when he first joined the program. If people are concerned about not being out publicly, they can participate behind the scenes. If they want to write material, other people can read it. There are a lot of ways that we can protect their identity. If they want to be open, that's fine too. And the program is also open to straight allies. And straight allies have been an important part of the show ever since it began.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to ask you about a role for straight allies, maybe not just as producers of content, but also as potential consumers of the program.
Yeah, well, I think that most of the people who listen to the program are probably not LGBTQ themselves. It is heard by a general public radio audience on, as I said, about 45 to 50 public radio stations around the country. And, you know, a lot of people, if they don't have a reason to seek out LGBTQ content, really may not know very much. And Outcasting can provide a way to sort of educate people about some of the issues our community faces.
Cale, I assume you've listened to the show.
Yes, I have.
Do you have favorite stories or episodes that you might give us as an example of the content people might hear on the program?
I think one that's particularly interesting, I don't remember the exact episode number, but it was on asexuality, and they had a member of Outcasting go through his story, how he figured out who he was and everything like that. I thought that was interesting because I think an interesting thing about Outcasting is it's an interesting perspective, you know, queer youth. And I think it's important to remember that, you know, queer students, LGBTQ students, LGBTQ people, that offers a wide range of perspectives and people. And I think the story about a kid who is asexual was very interesting.
Here at MSU, is this going to be strictly a student-run organization, or will faculty and maybe other sorts of advisors be involved here at Michigan State?
Yes, there are actually four at the moment. One is on sabbatical. The three others are in the College of Communication Arts and Sciences.
You brought up having a high schooler involved in the project earlier, Mark, and I wanted to ask you again, not just as participants, but as potential audience for the program. It's not just college level and above that you're hoping to get involved in the Outcasting project, right?
Well, in terms of involvement, I mean, we certainly can always use more adult volunteers, but it really is a youth-based program. My voice is actually never even heard on the program. I do the funding announcements for the online version, but during the show itself, I'm never heard. And that's by design. We want the show to be really about youth and by youth.
Cale, I wanted to ask you a question about the perspective of an MSU student. Aside from the content of the program, if you feel like there's a professional development component to being involved in terms of radio production or learning how to conduct interviews, do you feel like once things really get rolling here in East Lansing that there will be professional development for students who take part?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm not studying like in radio or anything like that, or even really any media right now. But I think one of the things that drew me to it was that I took debate in high school. So I had some speaking experience, and I thought it was really cool to be part of like making a radio show. And I mean, for anyone who doesn't really know what goes into making radio, or really any sort of media outlet, is that there's a whole lot that goes into it. I mean, there's plenty of writing, plenty of technical stuff. And I think that it's really useful that whether or not you're planning on going into radio or production, you learn useful skills either way.
Are there other outlets for these kinds of stories in radio, television, online, where people can do this kind of work and get paid for it someday?
Not that I'm aware of. As far as I know, we're the only LGBTQ youth program in public radio in the United States, which is really unfortunate. But I think that's the case. But I do think, you know, getting back to what you were talking about professional development, you know, we develop research skills in our students, and that is highly transferable. Speaking and writing for broadcast, interviewing techniques, digital audio production, promotion using social media and other channels. You know, I think a lot of those skills can be worked into a lot of different kinds of things that people can do after they leave the program.
I wanted to ask about this informational meeting on Wednesday, what people will find when they get there, and also maybe how students who might find the project interesting but can't make it that night might be able to get more information. Can you shed some light on that for us, Cale?
On mfpg.org, they have, actually right now, the top post on there is the info for that meeting. If you contact pretty much anyone that's a part of Outcasting, we'll be able to get you to where you need to go. We also have an online presence as well with our Facebook page. And I think even just messaging that, we'll be able to provide you with information you need. And we're always going to have, of course, more meetings throughout the year. So whenever you're available, we'll always be able to take anyone in.
Outcasting is a radio program and podcast for LGBTQ youth, and it's coming to East Lansing. There's a meeting for interested students, including straight allies, on Wednesday at 5 p.m. in the MSU Main Library's MAP Library. That's room 308F of the Main Library. We've been talking about Outcasting with the founder of the nonprofit creating the program, Media for the Public Good, Mark Sofas, and an MSU student, Cale Black, who's working on Outcasting here at Michigan State. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.